What's up, everyone? This is Press X Start Podcast, Season 5, Episode 25. Press X Start Podcast is an audio and video podcast seeking to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I am your host, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know? The developer's slow clap of the most anticipated game, Sifu, which has been delayed to 2022 and we can't wait. The head of the studio actually practices kung fu. And the cool part about that is he actually got the other people in the studio to start practicing kung fu as well, like with him. So they're, I want to say they're all part of the same, I guess, dojo. I'm not exactly sure what you, martial arts studio. We'll go with martial arts.
Or, I wonder if this comes up on their yearly performance review
evaluation. I think Sifu is the Chinese word for teacher or mentor. I think dojo is exclusively a Japanese. Yes. So it's whatever they.
I mean, whatever. They could be Chinese and go over to Japan to go learn. I mean, are you being a bigot, Ravy?
I'm not being a bigot. I'm being specific.
You're being very specific. But I know there's a word for it. I just, it's not in my dictionary right now. But I'm just going to keep it like that and, you know, keep it moving. But that's me.
I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
I still don't say it.
Oh. Uh-oh. Oof, I can't wait till that pops. Who else?
It's Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. the first Psychonaut.
Okay. And last up?
This is Avery Williams, and I am desperately trying to get away with it, as I've tried on many attempts over the last couple of weeks. It's not going well, but still trying, guys. Haven't given up hope. Also, to answer DJ's question, a Chinese dojo or training hall is called a kun.
Ah.
Which, as according to...
Did you just say kun?
I know I have a speech impediment, and I apologize, but it's spelled K-W-O-O-N in English.
That's pretty close.
So is that the Chinese version of coon? I mean, what you
said? I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's just move on. Let's leave it on. You're taking my speech impediment, making it worse. Let's move on.
Well, in Japanese, coon is like love, right? Something like that. When you put it at the end of someone's name.
No, it's an honorific that represents affection. So it doesn't represent love per se, but it's affection.
It's hard like.
Like if I was hanging out with DJ, and I'm like, yo, DJ is kind of mad cute. And I'm trying to like, I'm trying to show some affection. I'd be like, what's up, DJ Coon?
Yeah. And I'd give you a wink and a point. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but because we're close, I just call him DJ. But if I wanted to be like, hey, this is a professional, I would call him San. And if he was my and if he was my master in a slave situation, I would call him I would call him Sama. So
all right, otaku. Next subject.
Hey, man.
Hey, Press X Star is a place where you can learn Japanese and also learn what it means to be black in America.
3 years of high school Japanese and 10 years of anime. Let's go.
All right, with that being said, we got some housekeeping to do. First up, don't forget that we still have a donation going for the Palestine charity drive. So you just go to pressx2start.com/Palestine and donate, and we appreciate it. Second up, we want you to watch our YouTube and audio versions of our State of Play reacts. We're going to talk about it very, very briefly here, and we want you to go watch that because that's where we give our more in-depth impressions, and we actually watch the entire State of Play. So check that out. By the time you are hearing this, the video version and audio version will be out for you to watch, and I'm going to assume that you've already watched it, but just watch it again just to make us feel better. With that being said, now it's time to talk about what we've been playing. Sean, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing the free shit this month, WWE Battlegrounds. I'm playing the story mode. It has a story mode where,
really?
You're a young Thundercat recruited off the street by Stone Cold because they're trying to put together a new league.
Oh,
called the Battlegrounds or what have you. Yeah, and you work through this long ass ladder, and, it has microtransactions, which I dare not look at because they're not getting any more of my money.
any more of your free money.
Yeah. And then I'm also playing a Plague Tale Innocence, which they have a sequel coming out next year.
Called, wait, real quick, about Battlegrounds. Does Stone Cold still have the knee brace?
You know what? I did not look. I know he was riding around on a scooter, though. Oh, okay. Shit's just weird, man.
They put Stone Cold on a scooter?
You got to see it. It's interesting.
Okay.
A Plague Tale Requiem is coming out next year. Mm-hmm. So check out this free, the first game. It's on PlayStation Plus right now. And to me, this plays like a AA version of The Last of Us. Mm. It's okay. Set during the Hundred Year War and the Black Plague. You're playing as this girl named Amicia. She's helping out her brother Hugo. The game pretty much starts out with you hunting with your father. The dog runs off. You know, you're running around with your dog. They're hunting a boar. You find the dog about 5 minutes later, and he's all beaten up and half eaten, and he's like halfway in a pit. You go to help him, and he gets snatched down the rest of the way. And, you know,
yikes.
Your father tries to console you, sure. He says, go tell your mother. As you go to tell your mother, you peek out the window, and the French Inquisition pops through. And you see him getting his neck slit, and your mother's like, all right, well, y'all need to hide no matter what. And you end up trying to run away with your brother to freedom.
So wait. I just imagine.
Everything's just going to shit.
I imagine from your description, your mom looks at and be like, oh, that's not going well. All right, guys, you got to hide.
I mean, it's pretty close.
Really? Yeah, it's pretty much. I'm trying not to give too much of it away, but you pretty much got to run away. And, this has a mix of stealth and, you know, action. Mm-hmm. Granted, this is low stakes action. You have a slingshot for your weapon, and the look speed is terribly slow. You got different chemicals you can concoct to, you know, kind of defend yourself or direct people, you know, distract people, what have
right,
you.
Right, right.
It has a slight crafting system, you know, where you make the chemicals and you can upgrade your gear. And, the thing that you're avoiding is either people, you know, the French Inquisition, or the Plague Tale is actually rats. So it's millions upon millions of rats. It literally looks like a sea of rats that you have to, they're afraid of light. So you pretty much got to stay in the light.
Yikes.
As much as you can. Or sometimes you'll like drop, like sometimes there'll be bodies hanging and you just have to like let loose the bodies and the rats will be attracted to them and you can sneak past.
Oh yeah. Okay. I imagine that has to stink. That has to smell so bad.
I mean, you gotta look at the context of like, okay, so this is an era where pretty much only the rich get the opportunity to wash on a regular basis. So there's horses are literally shitting in the street. So it's like the air itself doesn't smell well. And then you've got this.
Mind you, they weren't bathing. But once a month, maybe, and that's regularly.
That's where we get perfume.
True. Axe body spray coming at a pinch, huh?
Yeah.
But I recommend this game. Yeah, everybody should check it out.
I also recommend it. I played Plague Tale. I want to say it came out in 2019. I played it either at the tail end of 2019 or the beginning of. I played it at the tail end of 2019. I really enjoyed it. I desperately tried to get Marcus to play this game, and he just. It's Marcus, so he will play it eventually.
Marcus, I recommend playing this game.
Do it, Marcus. Instead of playing Overwatch all the goddamn time.
It's not like he's any good. Anyway, go ahead.
Next up, Jordan, what you been playing?
Oh, well, in the spirit of value games or games accessible at a low price... I have been walking around Game Pass and
just perusing.
The thing about Game Pass is it allows you to redeem Microsoft points, which are transferable, and you can apply to future purchases. So one of the weeks had the senders, like you had to like get a certain pointage, like in terms of distance traveled. And what the senders is a freestyle downhill biking game, right? It's procedurally generated also. So you have four different...
It's a downhill biking game? Can you do tricks?
Yes. It's a freestyle game. You know, you do tricks, get points, get sponsorships. There's a small career mode associated with it. And there's four different biomes. You have forest, desert, mountain, highlands. and each one is procedurally generated. So your goal is to get to the bottom of the mountain and beat the quote-unquote boss, and the boss is like a giant jump. So
that's cool.
At first, it was just me trying to get some extra points, like, you know, just save a couple bucks on future purchases. But I've grown to truly enjoy this game because they have a pretty fun Euro beat to it. So, like, when you're flying down a hill, it's like, and that, like, kind of gets your adrenaline going. And the sense of speed is strong in this game. The sense of speed is truly strong.
That you can only get with 120 frames per second.
It is at 120, and it is in my HDMI 2.1 port.
This is actually going to tie into something we're going to talk about toward the end of this podcast. But Descenders is a game that also had issues on PlayStation in regards to its place on that platform.
Frame rate?
No. The actual place on the PlayStation platform and how they... I'll talk about it later there, but yeah. Continue, Jordan.
Is this that guy?
No.
Question about Descenders. What, is this like third person biking game or is like a side scrolling? Like what's the visual presentation of it?
Traditionally, it is in the third person, but there are a few tracks where the challenge has you in first person, and that can be fairly intense because you are literally in first person. So if you're doing a backflip, you better hope that you're oriented enough to understand if you're still upside down or not. Yeah, again, hopefully you don't have any motion sickness. But I've also been playing Psychonauts, you know, just remind myself of Psychonauts 2 when that comes out, and talked about it in the past. They don't make platforms like this anymore. But if I were to play Psychonauts when I was younger, I think I would have truly enjoyed that game because I'm deeper into it. And, you know, basically each level is a different counselor's head, like their inner space.
Oh, interesting.
And not only are you understanding like that counselor's phobias and regrets and guilt, but with each specific phobia and regret, there's also a particular type of gameplay. So I just have one counselor. Well, I actually entered the mind of a boss character who was regretful of being a bad person. So I was the bad guy within their psyche, to which my character was a kaiju. And I was like destroying the city and stuff like that. And it was pretty wild. But yeah, like... Psychonauts, I am very interested in this sequel when it comes out in about a month now. Also, Space Jam, you know, tie-in. I think Space Jam and Xbox clearly has a partnership here because they have like this Founders box set that comes with Space Jam customized controllers and a LeBron action figure if you are interested. I'm not interested, but I am playing this game, and yeah, like I literally just finished Street Fighter 4, which is also on Game Pass. I just finished that, and this is basically a 2D sky side-scrolling, you know, King of Fighters and all that.
Streets of Rage.
There you go.
So what?
Yeah. So just like Streets of Rage, you know, just fun with friends. You know, like you can either play LeBron James, Bugs Bunny, or Lola Bunny. And yeah, you try to take down Don Cheadle. So it should be fun. And finally, I've been playing Destiny because they are still updating that game with new CGI trailers.
Yep.
God bless Bungie for just powering on with this game. And yeah, it's the same fun shooter as it was when it came out back in 2018. You know, I played through all of the DLCs, Forsaken King, Beyond Light, and Shadow's Keep. I cannot tell you what the fuck's going on. I just know that characters come in and characters leave. But if you have been following Destiny 2 or you're a fan of Destiny 2, there are rumors of a brand new area of Earth about to be opened up, which is essentially Chicago. Old Chicago is what people have.
Why would you want to go there?
Well, we're about to find out what this old Chicago looks like 2,000 years into the future. And it doesn't look too much greater. I mean, I'm not going to bullshit. Chicago's a pretty nice city. I'm not going to fuck around like that.
Hey, go to Obama's house and take a picture.
I'm not going to lie about that. But yeah, like through Game Pass, you had not only did you have access to Destiny, we had access to all the Destiny DLCs. But I just, you know, ran through, and that's what I've been playing.
Okay. And then Avery, what you been doing?
I had a pretty much light week this week, but I wanted to try to find something new to play. And so I remembered a game called Going Under, which is a roguelite in which you are a marketing intern at a corporation that is known for absorbing startups.
Oh, I think I'm aware of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you're tasked by the clueless man, like upper management, to clear out the basement, which are the graves of the startups that they've absorbed and are just filled with monsters that they just sort of deal with. It's a very quirky and interesting looking game that has two really contrasting art styles. Like, the character art is like a really clean and fun and vibrant sort of like almost high functioning Muppet kind of a thing. Where like all, the characters have like the sort of the design aesthetics of a Muppet, but they are humanoid, realistic shaped characters, if that makes sense. And really basic and simple, like, I'm going to draw a tube, give it eyes, a nose and a mouth, and put arms on it, and that's your character walking around. And it's like, it's a very interesting art style that I think it's serviceable. Not, I don't think it's saved by how vibrant and interesting the world itself looks. Otherwise, I think the game would be kind of look really boring, kind of cheap. As a roguelite, I think its system is actually really interesting. In that you're going down to the levels. Every level has like multiple sub basements. There's a boss at the end. You kill the boss and you clear that level, get access to others. But if you die, the only thing you recover is I want to say it's, they call it CR, and I can't remember the acronym, but I think it's corporate points or some bullshit you can use to redeem at like the corporate like gift shop to like buy upgrades that you can find lower in the level.
That's funny.
From a world standpoint, I think it's really cool. I think from a mechanical standpoint, I don't really like it. I'm enjoying playing it, but like it shares sort of like an isometric look like Hades.
Okay.
But like Hades, the combat was like so precise.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, I die a lot because like two enemies will walk up next to me and they're like, the only thing you can do to block enemy attacks is dodge. But your dodge roll is super slow. Okay. And your enemy and don't get much of a recovery time off of it. And then the enemy animation for like, at least for me, the animations for attacks are like super weird. And so I end up like committing to an attack and then trying to dodge out of it. But because of the way the animations work, I always get caught. And so I'm always dying really, really early into a run. And it's kind of tilting. So I haven't got very far into it, even though I think it's actually a pretty short game. Like, if I sat down and dedicated myself to time to it instead of like a couple of hours, I think I could clear it in like 5 to 6 hours easy.
Okay.
But yeah, that's those are my early thoughts of Going Under. Whether I go back to it, I hope I'm going back to it. But whether I go back to it, it's going to be based on my further enjoyment of its combat. Because I think the game is quirky and interesting enough. And I think right now it's on sale on PlayStation for like $10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it normally goes for $20.
Yeah.
But like PlayStation right now is doing their big summer sale stuff. So you find a lot of things for a lower price if you're really looking.
True that.
So we should probably play a game of what's not on Game Pass. Because Going Under is on Game Pass. I just looked it up. Just want to download it right now. Yeah. Let me check it out. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Well, that's been what we have been playing. Normally, we'll have a word from our sponsors, but today we're doing something special, and that is a word from our sponsors, because it's us again. Remember, check out all of our YouTube content, because we would like the views. We're putting all of this stuff, all of our content on YouTube, and we appreciate if you were to watch that. And as I said earlier in the show, the latest thing we have is our State of Play reaction, so check that out. And with that being said, Marcus, do the thing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X, #2, start. At Instagram at Press X, #2, start. And Twitter, Press X, #2S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. Now it's time for the quick hits. DJ, quick hits. All right, DJ, quick hits. All right, DJ, quick hits. Number one, this is from Kotaku.
Did you just have a stroke?
I don't know.
Sounded like it.
Or it was a multiverse thing. I was talking to the other DJ in the other universe, Loki. Number one, this is from Kotaku. PS5 ad pulled by Sony seemingly for showing upside down console. all right, so Sony posted an ad on Twitter this morning at that time, this is in the past, showing a dad capping off his day by playing some God of War. Typical fare as far as these things go, except the video also featured an upside down PS5. Gasp. After fans pointed this out, the tweet got deleted with no explanation for its removal. And of course, Sony didn't say anything.
Herman Hulst also had his issue, and I decided to do a little bit of an experiment to find out what would compel someone to put this upside down compared to previous consoles. I use both the PS4 as a reference, the Xbox One and the Xbox Series X. Out of all four of those, the PS5 is the only one that doesn't have clear divots on the bottom. When you take it out the box, that would indicate that this is where you would rest it, which we are trained by not just video game consoles, but, you know, PCs, TVs, anything. Monitors. Usually we are trained to say this little padded bottom right here is where it would go. So, you know, you're supposed to follow the directions. I did. When we got a PS5, I know we did when we got a PS5, but you can't leave too much leeway to, like,
the average... I mean, they showed it as well.
You can't leave too much leeway to the average consumer.
The only thing I also say, to add on to what Jordan's saying, is that the way the PS5, only the disc version, because I don't think the disc version is not going to have this issue because there's no disc tray to indicate what is the top or the bottom. But the disc version, like, the top has no disc, the bottom does. And it comes with a stand that fits on the bottom section, and it's supposed to rest on that bottom section.
Right.
So only someone who saw that stand and said, I don't need this, would put it down that way.
Yeah. It's one of those things where we, I guess, as a society, we're programmed to see something with a disc tray and make sure that this tray is the top thing. Because that's how we're accustomed to seeing per experience dealing with VCR.
I mean, that's how the PS3 was.
Yeah, exactly.
The Xbox, the disc portion's at the top of it.
Yeah.
The disc is oriented to the top.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that the PS5 is a machine that's designed to actually stand. Like, you can put it on its side, but it was designed to stand.
Yeah.
The bottom is... So, yeah.
And there's not much I need to say about this other than the fact that this goes this goes into me just being upset by the design of this console and how freaking ginormous the thing
is. I fucking love the design. I would say the reason Sony fucking deleted this is just so people don't think, oh, this is the right way to put this fucking console on.
Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah.
Because it is the wrong way.
I mean, couldn't they have I guess that would cost money. CGI that bitch.
All right.
They probably could have.
Odds are this was a marketing bit like that was made by like a separate marketing house with little involvement into Sony, and they just did not get the notes on how to set this thing up. And so they just put it out like, oh, this will be fun. And then Sony...
They put it in and was like, remember, right.
And then Sony
Herman Hurst did the same thing. And this was back in last fall.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And then, And then Sony Marketing posted this. Like, we're not involved in the fucking design and making of this console. We're just fucking just putting posts on Twitter and fucking making memes. So, this is a funny, dumb story.
I can see Marcus Cerny, like, scrolling to Twitter and seeing it like, what the fuck? All right, number two. This comes from Forbes. Pokemon Go has made $5 billion in 5 years.
Microtransactions.
That's ridiculous. The biggest thing I have about this is that Pokemon Go has been out for 5 years. Where has time gone? I can't believe it's been 5 years.
You have a child now, so that's where time went.
Like, I swore that game came out 2 years ago. Like, what?
I remember us running around in a promenade at a Watch Apple.
Yeah.
At night, looking for Pokemon. And was Shireen playing it as well?
She was, yeah.
One of the girlfriends is like, what the fuck are y'all doing? This is stupid.
I kept on saying, if they wanted to make this a one-to-one, you know, put those high Pokemon in, like, gangland. Like, put that shit in West Baltimore. I'm like, yo, let's do this. You want a Mewtwo for real, though? You really want a Mewtwo?
Let's have a conversation.
Go to Penn North. Go to Penn North.
Still have yet to touch.
Hey, man.
Say what? What'd you say, Avery?
I still yet to touch. I never touched this game.
Oh, really? Yeah, you don't need to. It's fine. Number three. This comes from The Verge. Nintendo Switch OLED, aka not Switch Pro, hands-on. So basically, The Verge got their hands on the new Switch, and they, essentially it's a 7-inch OLED screen, which is a bit larger from the old Switch, which was 6.2 inches. It's an improved kickstand. There's an increased internal storage. Very minor design tweaks. So it's not the Pro that everyone has been speculating over. It's just a bigger and nicer Switch.
I don't know why they didn't do the kickstand like this the first time. That's how the Surface tablet is.
Oh, really?
I have it right here. Okay. But yeah, that alone would be worth it for me if it had come out back then. I don't fly as much now, but when I first had the Switch, me and my wife used to fly a lot, and we played the Switch in the, airplane, on the airplane in the airport.
Yeah.
And the damn thing would just keep on toppling over.
Right. Because
the kickstand was ass.
Right.
This is one of those.
But I mean.
Yeah.
Now, I was just going to say, I may get it, but go ahead.
This is one of those situations where I'm like, to quote another podcast, this is a dumb Nintendo decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that, ultimately, this is not for me. This is not designed for me. It's not even like, I'm not the target.
For people who haven't bought one yet, really.
Yes, it's for people who haven't bought one.
Right. But,
or so diehards who collect shit.
Well, the issue is, it's for the whales and those people. For everyone in the middle, this does not serve any purpose to you as a Nintendo fan. Like, I rarely touch my Switch now because, honestly, they haven't released a big game that really warrants me to turn it on. Mm. And the games they do have, I tend to not finish them because I'm not on my Switch all the time.
Right.
And then those games run poorly on the Switch because the Switch is not poorly designed, but it was based on low-end PS4 architecture versus now we're in the PS5 generation. The Switch can't output to 4K.
People were speculating that with the NVIDIA chip on this, it would do that, but it's not.
It can barely run their premier game, Breath of the Wild, at its highest settings. Yeah. Like, me and DJ were having this conversation, and what I thought this was going to be. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I thought this was going to be a Nintendo Switch that you do not take out from its dock. That is a dock Switch that has, like, unlocked frame rates and everything like that. So if you want a premium gameplay experience, like, for the people who want to play Doom on the Switch, you can put this in and now play Doom that's relatively comparable to what you would get on the other console. That's what I was expecting this to be. Especially since they released the Switch Lite, which is a wholly handheld console.
Yeah.
So this is... Go ahead.
And then someone even pointed out that because of the bigger screen, that unless games are optimized for that new screen, they're going to look worse on this new Switch, not better.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point because the resolution is tied to the screen.
This Switch doesn't even work with that cardboard shit that Nintendo did. The Labo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work with that. So if you have that, you're trying to upgrade or switch out, ain't gonna work.
It's one of those situations where, like, I can't wrap around my head what their business plan is, because if I'm a DJ at this point, we're never gonna get a Switch that you can't carry around. I think that's Switch is a handheld device, and Nintendo is a handheld developer now at this point, which is, I guess, fine. I don't like handheld games. I never take my Switch out of the dock, so I guess the Switch is not inherently for me unless it's a Zelda or a Mario game at this point. But if they release another, because I keep forgetting that this is who released the 3DS in like 4 or 5 different variations. I have like 6 of the DS variations every time they release one, just because of parody. And then in my head, the only reason the reports that we got are wrong, because we got a lot of big sites reporting on what the Switch Pro was going to be,
was
that Nintendo was not prepared for COVID.
Yeah.
And this is a stopgap until they can get all the components so they can release their
actual
brand new Switch. But that pretty much puts...
But when the hell would that come out? That's a good 2 years at least.
Next year...
We're going to be in a real weird place come next year, because we are going to have, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is supposed to be able to play on the Switch. And it's going to... We all know... it's going to be played on this Switch and not the current Switch we all have. So
yeah, they can't release another Switch Pro.
It's streaming. It's like it's like,
oh, is that going to be streaming?
Yeah, like the Switch is answer to big games that it fundamentally cannot play is to just stream it. But then you get into the issue where this is a handheld device with no inbuilt Wi-Fi or anything like that, which inherently means you're not being able to stream shit on the go.
Yeah, and this, well, the OLED will have a LAN port, but like, that is, yeah, like, it's confusing mess, and I don't know. But it comes out October 8th, 2021, yeah, this like year, and it's going to be $350.
All I want is to be able to sit down with my Nintendo console and have it be able to play Nintendo games and have it feel like, oh, this is a premium experience and not just... Here's a good example. The Wii U version of Hyrule Warriors plays better than the
Switch
version of Hyrule Warriors.
Yikes.
I had that game and never finished it.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully Nintendo is able to figure this all out, because it seems like a very weird choice.
I'm just waiting for Bayonetta 3.
The low price of $350. Yeah. What's up next, TJ?
What's up next is number four. This comes from Game Bible. Xbox confirms Fable will release before The Elder Scrolls 6. That makes sense because...
No one cur next.
Well, but first, that makes sense because Bethesda's last statement is saying that Elder Scrolls 6 is still in design phase. So yeah, it would make sense that Fable would come out before that. Number five, this comes from Forbes. Cyberpunk 2077 is...
No one cares. This is actually
very interesting.
Cyberpunk 2077 is toppling PS4 sales charts with no help from Sony. So, Cyberpunk's return to the PlayStation Store has made the best-selling game on the PS4 store in the US, Canada, and Europe last month, topping mainstays like GTA 5, FIFA 2021, and Minecraft.
Who was waiting with bated breath for Cyberpunk to come back out?
Here's the thing. From what I can extrapolate from this article, this sort of... crystallizes a thought I've generally been having about gaming and the gaming space and gaming spaces in general. As much as we feel about things, we are definitely the minority.
Yeah, because absolutely.
You can't type in Cyberpunk without hearing a litany of shit. So ultimately what this says is people saw Cyberpunk on the platform and just clicked on it because, it's Cyberpunk, and have no context for everything else that's been going bad with Cyberpunk.
They knew it for its marketing, not for its news.
Well, when Sony removed Cyberpunk off their store, because Xbox didn't do that. Xbox allowed for Cyberpunk to remain on its store, and they had a refund program for those that wanted to return it up until recently.
Xbox also had the marketing deal with Cyberpunk, so I think it was a little bit more difficult.
It's different.
Okay. And the only reason why Sony pulled it off the store is pretty much because CD Projekt Red was like, oh yeah, PlayStation has a refund policy where you can just get the refunds from there. And PlayStation was like, the fuck we do? We don't do that. What are you doing?
That being said, there were people that still owned a PS4 or still have a PS4 and had no other alternatives to access, or at least investing in any other alternative to access Cyberpunk. Mm. And up until this point, now that PlayStation had reintroduced or allowed it to be on the store, those potential customers that are interested in getting back in November still remained. So it might still be like that interest, that initial interest in it for those PlayStation 4 owners remaining, and now they're able to access it. Which is like, you know, they didn't get themselves a new PC, they didn't buy themselves an Xbox One.
They didn't get Stadia.
They just kept with their platform, and now they're able to access it.
I don't know. It's hard to say, like, good for them, because, like, there is a disclaimer on the PS4 version of Cyberpunk 2077 warning people, this is not the version that you should be playing.
No one's going to read that. Like, so, if I remember the PS4 store, it's buried under a relatively small box in comparison to all the other art, and it's like, it's probably not going to even fit in that box unless they put it up there.
Yeah, it's
top.
The read more. Then, it's under.
Yeah.
So essentially, this is a bunch of bright features that are about to be extinguished by this game's performance.
Or it's a bunch of people who are just banking on when the game comes to PS5, the PS5 version comes out, and I eventually get a PS5, I'm just getting a free upgrade of this game.
Yeah, I could see that.
Possibly.
Well, if the upgrade is about free.
The, yeah, well,
Finn probably read it's the one selling the upgrade, and they've said, hey, it's coming out free. You're correct. Anything could change, especially with the way Sony functions right now. But I, based on certain things, based on it being a third-party partner, I think that you're getting a general say on, hey, this upgrade's coming out for free on our console.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Because I think that our CD Projekt Red should just cut their losses and focus on Witcher. Number six.
Not a bad idea either.
This comes from IGN. So this is basically, this is just the recap from Sony Say to Play. As I've said so far twice now in this podcast, we have our own reactions. So if you want a recap, watch our reactions. That's your recap. Do it. Other than that, I mean, you know, Sony announced a couple of games. Nothing really mind-blowing.
Groundbreaking. Yeah. Nothing first-party.
Yeah, nothing first. They made it clear that it wasn't going to be anything first-party. We're not going to see God of War. We're not going to see Horizon. We didn't see Ghost. And it's one of those things where, for me, the longer I sit with what they did show for State of Play, the less I am happy with what they showed. We reviewed the State of Play, we gave our ratings, and now I'm actually kind of falling a little under what I originally said. I think I said like a 7 out of 10. Yeah, it's one of those things where it makes sense why they didn't show this for E3, because this would have gotten completely demolished by Xbox's showing. And they didn't announce anything like, hey, stay tuned for more details, like further in the year or later in the year or something. So,
well, yeah. they talked about that in a blog post.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they do have more of the show later this year?
Yeah, I think, believe in the blog post announcing this, they talked about the things we aren't showing, here are what we aren't, but we will have updates on that for the rest of the summer.
Okay. Thank God. Thank God. Well, in that case, watch our reactions to this. It's available on YouTube and on our podcast. Actually, it should be before this episode, so if you do your due diligence, you should be listening to that before you listen to this. So thanks. Do it. All right. That's it for the quick hits. Now it is time for the heavy hitters. Number one, this goes to Jordan. Take it away, Jordan.
Yes, via Forbes, Assassin's Creed Infinity will take this series fully down the live service rabbit hole. This is reporting by Jason Schreier. And the report that Ubisoft's next grand project will be Assassin's Creed Infinity, a new platform-like launchpad for multiple settings in the Assassin's Creed universe as the series go full live service in the vein of Fortnite or GTA Online, which is a, you know, massive revenue generator. This is the games-as-service model. But there's nothing truly confirmed about this. Mm-hmm. And the report does not indicate what the next setting or settings of Infinity will be. And the roughest timeline they have for the game's release at the moment is an estimate for 2024 in terms of release date. But there has been a response from Ubisoft, which is as followed. Rather than continuing to pass the baton from game to game, we profoundly believe this is an opportunity for one of Ubisoft's most beloved franchises to evolve in a more integrated and collaborative manner that's less centered on studios and more focused on talent and leadership. No matter where they are within Microsoft, most importantly, Assassin's Creed has always been developed by multicultural teams with various backgrounds and perspectives that have influenced the depiction of its characters, locations, and cultures. While we know there is always room for improvement, we believe this structure allows for us to ensure that diversity and representation within our teams continues to grow and match that of players. So within that quote, there is no, we're not doing games as service. Mm-hmm. But if you've been following, like, let's say this, I mean, you can say like the action trilogy of Assassin's Creed, not so much the self trilogy, but the action part of it, you are noticing some games as a service type mechanics.
Yeah.
Being microtransactions to make your character upgrade faster. Mm-hmm. you know, this week's new seasons, you know, integrated into the holidays, into Halloween, you know, small stuff like that. So,
and they also like support the games. They have very long tails at the end of their games in terms of their support. So that's also goes along the lines of games of service. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like they just released a Druid DLC, like more Ireland, you know, like, you know, you mess around with Colin McGregor, his family, I guess. But, you know, that came out. They're still doing large DLCs. Mm-hmm. You know, they just came out with the Aiden Pierce DLC for Watch Dogs. Like,
interesting.
They're like one of the very few publishers that still, like, at least of that size, that still do large DLCs. And I don't know, maybe the costliness of, you know, insulated video game experiences has a pretty high opportunity cost.
Yeah.
And by opportunity cost, like continued revenue after the first purchase.
I kind of,
which is hard to come by.
I kind of wonder what kind of games of service this is going to be. Is it going to be where Assassin's Creed Infinity launches and it's free and it's just microtransactions here and there, or if it's going to be like, oh, it's now $20, you jump in and there's microtransactions a part of it.
I think it's going to be a $70 thing. It's going to be, the game itself is going to be $70 its entire lifespan.
Yikes.
I mean,
yikes.
The thing that we've noticed in the past when it comes to like those games that start off as expensive and down the line would become free to play, like Destiny.
Yeah.
Like
Destiny's model wouldn't work if it was $70.
Well, because so one of the things we're having an issue with this is that we don't know what they're releasing.
That's true.
In our heads, exactly. We're like, oh, this is going to be like a Destiny, which is just, here's a story to wrap context around just a bunch of individual missions and individual worlds. Mm. But in my head, when I hear this, I hear, cool, every year or every other year, we're going to drop a brand new locale into this live service game. Then we're going to wrap a story, like an actual Assassin's Creed story, through that locale. It's essentially them getting rid of the Valhallas, the Origins, and the Odysseys, and just releasing one game, but releasing those games in that game. At least that's in my head how it feels like it's going to work.
Quick question. Is Assassin's Creed, it's not built off of Unreal, is it?
No. They have this, their in-house Anvil engine is what they've been talking about.
Gotcha.
For the Assassin's Creed. I know Ubisoft also owns the Snowdrop engine.
Okay.
Which is for the Division team.
Ubisoft, yeah.
I don't know the engine behind Watch Dogs, but Assassin's Creed is the Anvil engine.
Gotcha. The only thing that I worry about with Avery, the model that you're kind of just guessing at, is same thing that happened with Destiny, where if you are working with the same engine for such a long time, eventually that engine will start showing its wear and tear. And
unless it's updated.
For D1, like, they got to a point where they just couldn't really do too much with the engine anymore. Or they couldn't really keep adding more content onto the engine because there was just things here and there. Just like, well, we can't do this because of that. We can't do this because of that. So what do we do? And then that's when they kind of started in cycling the process.
Content.
Well, not even that, but like just got in the process of like, all right, well, we're going to release Destiny 2 because we just can't do anything else with this engine anymore. So
the Anvil engine was released back in 2007.
Okay, so on that point, we also live in a world where Call of Duty Warzone exists, and I'm not the Warzone expert, but I'm pretty sure halfway through that game's development, they shifted the engine of that game from the previous Call of Duty to the current Call of Duty.
Yes.
Modern Warfare was a whole new engine, but I think Black Ops Cold War was not.
Yeah, that's what they were using.
And a lot of people were upset about it when they Force integrated that into Warzone.
Yeah. So from least in my head, from a game design.
Yeah. You're right, Avery. Like Warzone does span two different games. Like,
yeah.
I definitely feel like if Assassin's Creed, if they have that in mind, that they'll definitely build it for that.
Yeah, especially if it's not the quote unquote big drops or a every year thing and a every other year
thing. Or it could be a season thing.
Yeah.
We talked about this a while ago, even before, like pre-pandemic, that Ubisoft was switching away from the giant AAA model.
Yeah, right.
That was reported in the past.
Yeah.
So this does. I don't know, man. Games as a service is more lucrative.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then and back to my point about it being $70. Like, one of the reasons director's cuts and like other re-releases of content come out is so they can return it to its original price point. And this is a game that they're going to constantly be adding new content to. So from like a pure like value standpoint, this game 5 years from now in its development is going to be worth far more. I don't know anything about its microtransaction plans or anything like that and how it's going to do DLC. It's going to be far more worth what it's what they're going to end up the original selling value at.
I definitely get that.
One thing we can say, at least I can speak maybe for the majority of us here, we are Fortnite founders. We the original Fortnite.
That is true.
We are adults.
Sean's like, I ain't touched that game.
We are founders.
I know.
We are founders. We help through our misdirection. We were able to give Epic Games.
Hey, you should go give it a play right now, Jordan.
The most needed support they needed. They needed, yes, our money for the stilts that hold up the Fortnite empire.
Yeah, go play Save the World, Jordan.
Dude.
I mean, if we want to roll Save the World, I'll re-download my copy of Fortnite. We can play that.
Yeah.
Can you even log into that shit?
I don't even know if it works.
It was an innocent time.
It should still work.
Pre-Trump.
Wow.
I was just about to say, how are different locales going to work? But I mean, I guess technically they have the animus. They can just drop you in.
Saying. Thematically, it could work.
I can imagine it will be a thing where the hub is essentially the studio where the animus lives or is stationed.
You're an analyst for whatever.
Right.
Episode, whatever the organization.
And you can make your own characters, and they're just like Ubi meme memes.
For me, that's because it depends on the intent of what they're doing. If this is an evolution of Assassin's Creed, I don't think we're going to get a creative character or any of that bullshit. I think they're going to continue the story of the character they introduced in the last couple of Assassin's Creed, I think, Origins, as the focus of those games, as the focal character.
I don't think they can do that anymore.
I mean, if this game is still focused on the story, I think they can.
No, if you played Valhalla, you know that it wouldn't be possible.
Wait, it wouldn't be possible?
The character, the woman, the adventurer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, stuff happens that.
I mean, make it
not possible. He's saying she dead.
Brotherhood 2 or some bullshit ended up with you murdering one of your main compatriots and and then you moved on to the next one. Like, all right, we're gonna just move on from that. Anything can happen.
Everything is permitted.
Yeah. Hopefully she's not allergic to nuclear radiation.
Oh my god, wait, what?
Exactly. That's what you're dealing with here, with that character.
Hey, okay, so to, I guess, wrap up this thing, my general thoughts are, this is one of those things that if it works, this changes the way AAA games are going to release. Like, if this works, Call of Duty is no longer going to do yearly Call of Duty releases. They're just going to finally make the Call of Duty platform and say, okay, guys, here's the brand new suite that we're going to add onto this game.
So I don't know about that. I am in agreement.
Everybody's fans are different.
No, here's my thing. So I don't know about that because Call of Duty is built by three different and big studios, right?
Assassin's Creed is built by two big studios.
Right, but I feel like Call of Duty and I guess the Call of Duty games, they are on the face of it the same, but they have very different feelings. They feel differently.
And movement and shit.
And I feel like if that happens with Call of Duty, they're going to have to normal or standardize walk speed is this, gun sway.
I mean,
is
they
this.
Can do that though. They can just glom on everybody onto one project.
Or they can do the Master Chief Collection situation. Where literally the Master Chief Collection is 6 different Halos all in one package, and they all fundamentally feel different and are mechanically different.
Okay. I would definitely love,
like I said, this is all just conjecture.
Exactly.
If Ubisoft can get this to work, they have finally solved the what video game pundits have been saying for years since a live service games have been a thing is we just make a platform. We just make a platform, and it's essentially you're subscribing to this platform and the content it's being released.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that is a possible thing. Although I just don't know if this is going to succeed. I can definitely see.
Me either.
Yeah. I could definitely see them try this, and then third season or whatever, they're just like, we're just going to release a game. We're just gonna do the game instead of doing.
Eventually, it gets harder to add shit on, a la Destiny 1.
Well, yeah, the way
you
want.
You start cycling things in and out.
Exactly.
Probably going to end up doing if it continues. My final thoughts on this is, I'm not excited for this at all. From like a production business and what this means for the industry, this is the most exciting news I've heard in a long time.
Yep.
But from like someone who played Assassin's Creed games, played every one till Odyssey, I'm like, this is like, if this was them making Brotherhood style games or like Unity style games, those sort of focused experiences, I'd be like, yeah, this works for me. But like, this is them saying, all right, we're going to release a 150-hour game every other year, and that's from a value standpoint that works, but for me and what I want from Assassin's Creed, I'm like, I don't want this at all.
Well, that might not be the case though. We might get a lot shorter experience from this now with them doing this, because it might literally just be a setting with a you know, probably like 10 to 12 hours of story missions, and then you just kind of play in that world for a bit, and then you just jump to the next thing.
Yeah, I doubt it, but yeah, because if that was true, we would be in a situation where we're getting two types of Assassin's Creed games, the big open ones and the smaller, more focused story-driven ones.
Well,
we're not.
I'm just saying that might happen in this whole live service thing, where that would be a way for them to...
Well, yeah, anything live service, they can literally do anything because of the way that it's going to function.
That's true,
only
too.
If they get it to work.
Right.
It's bold.
It's a brave and bold new horizon. With that said, and that on the horizon, I think it is time for us to wrap up. Well, this has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed talking and making it and laughing. In case you missed any of this,
I remember laughing.
Oh man. In case you missed any of this, you can find all details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Don't forget, like and subscribe on our YouTube channel at pressxnumber2start.com/YouTube and watch all that stuff. As I said before, now three times in this cast, check out our YouTube video of our State of Play reactions, because it is a hoot, as some would say. Me, I said that. With that, oh my gosh, you know what? We're going to do a Black Widow ramble, and that's also going to be up too. So this is my first time saying that and also saying that. Marketing.
Soon, you coons. All right, I'm sorry.
Right. Peace.
Bye.